this morning. We again want to go to Romans chapter 1, looking at the results of a reprobate mind. Again, this could be individually. We are viewing it more collectively as a society. But we're down to verse 31. We saw last week without natural affection. Again, I don't believe that's referring to homosexuality. That was covered in earlier verses. But it's this without natural affection, of course, proceeds from a people so filled with themselves that they cannot love those they ought to naturally love, whether it be their children, their parents, their grandparents, just that natural affection. And again, do remember that it's being filled with. So these are ongoing, where they become commonplace in an epidemic. And that brings us to implacable. Implacable. It's a word that you don't hear much. It's not used that much today. It's a very descriptive word of our day. Very descriptive word of describing what's going on today. Implacable. The Greek is aspandos. Aspandos. It means without consent or truce. Without consent or truce. Has reference to those who cannot be appeased. Those who cannot be subdued or pacified, whether it be in their anger, their enmity, their malice, or their revenge. They are not pacified. They are not subdued in their own ways. It conveys the idea of an individual that is constant in enmity, one who refuses to lay aside enmity. I said that to a person once in a church, not here. I said, "You're implacable." I said, "I don't even know what that means." I said, "Well, let me tell you what it means." And we have known people that are implacable. They refuse to lay aside enmity. You see, the implacable person does not want to get over what they see as an offense. They don't want to work things out. They are easily outraged. Implacable people are easily outraged. Usually concerns them directly. And they eagerly pursue those who they see as the offender with unending revenge. There are people who spend their life in revenge. They're implacable. That's not a good thing. It has its roots in ungratefulness, ungraciousness, arrogancy. It has its roots in a resentful spirit that cannot be pleased, cannot be appeased. implacable. It is a people that is adamant, hardened, immovable, inflexible, self-willed, unrelenting, and without remorse. In the context here, in their rejection of God and in their sin. This is so concerning everything that is mentioned in Romans chapter 1. Implacable. You know, every now and then you'll hear somebody say, "We're not going to be quiet until." Well, and they might believe that, but that's not the truth, because they're implacable. They cannot be appeased. You can't sit down and reason with an implacable person. They've been given over to a reprobate mind. They're consumed with whatever it is that they see as an offense. When I first came here, I remember talking to a man, and his words to me were, "Well, I will never be at Home Baptist Church because Brother Titus offended me." And I said, "Well, what did he do?" "Well, it's been a long time, Brother Dan. I don't even really remember." That's the person I said to, "You're implacable. You're implacable. Are you listening to what you're saying?" And we have a whole society of it. A society that is settled. They are firmly established in the rejection of God. And all these people, "Well, we just need to sit down and reason with them." You're wasting your time. They are implacable. We need to understand that. So, again, consider this word in relation to everything that's mentioned here. Verse 21, "When they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." And you can add there, implacable. They're firmly established in that. "Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." Implacable. You can add to the end of it. "They changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and the birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things." In other words, creation becomes God. And they are implacable. All these people want to do away with police, do away with laws. They're humanists. And they actually believe that humans will do the right thing. You don't need laws because humans are good. Because humans are God. And they'll just do the right thing. Foolishness. And they're implacable in that. They're firmly established. "God gave them up unto uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their bodies between themselves." I believe here we have homosexuality, and they're implacable. They're settled in it. You can't reason with them. And we see vile affections, verse 26. "They did not like to retain God in their knowledge." And they're implacable in that. You can't reason with them. They become adamant in these ways. They become hardened, immovable, inflexible, and self-willed. This is one of the reasons we have a two-party system politically. They can't meet in the middle on hardly anything because people are implacable. They're implacable. It's almost gone where you can sit down and reason and come to a middle ground because people are implacable. They're implacable. And then you look at verses 29 through 32 and you see all these sins, verses 29 through 31 in particular. See all these sins that are mentioned that we've been covering. And in each one of them, they're implacable. They're hardened, immovable, inflexible in these things. And this is so regardless of the growing and advancing destructive consequences. Well, they can see the destructive consequences, but the problem is they don't see them as consequences of their actions, and they blame the destruction on something that doesn't have anything to do with the destruction. They can't make the association from their own actions to these are the results of these actions. That does not connect. That does not commute. And they are implacable. Feeling absolutely no shame. That's implacable people. They're angry. They do abominable things. They feel no shame. No shame whatsoever. Notice in Jeremiah chapter 3. Jeremiah chapter 3. This is God speaking of the nation, God's own people. The showers have been withholden, and there hath been no latter rain. That's a consequence. And thou hast a whore's forehead. Thou refusest. That's implacable. Thou refusest to be ashamed. Refuse to be ashamed. Implacable. Notice Jeremiah 6, verse 15. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they. Doesn't say neither did they, neither could they blush. This is a serious condition. They're implacable. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. Jeremiah 8, verse 12. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. Again, neither could they blush. They're implacable. Zephaniah, book of Zephaniah, chapter 3. Zephaniah 3, verse 5. The just Lord is in the midst thereof. He will not do iniquity. Every morning doth he bring his judgment to light. He faileth not. But the unjust knoweth no shame. The unjust knoweth no shame. So they do not feel shame. They have no remorse. They have no repentance because they're implacable. Notice in Proverbs chapter 1, Proverbs 1, verses 24 and 25. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have said it not, all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. They were implacable. They weren't interested in a truce with God. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Fully set, firmly established to do evil. They're implacable. They're implacable. Jeremiah chapter 7, and we have a whole society of implacable people. Jeremiah 7, verse 13. And now, because ye have done all these works, saith the Lord, and I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking, but ye heard not, and I called ye, but ye answered not. They're hardened. They're implacable. Romans chapter 2. Romans 2. Romans 2, verse 5. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath. That's what the implacable does. They treasure up themselves wrath. And the result of an implacable person is they, of course, continue in sin. They get deeper and deeper into sin. We see this in 2 Kings 17:14, 2 Chronicles 28. You see a people that sin more and more. Sin doesn't decrease, it increases. That's just the very nature of sin. It's the very nature of the sinner also. They're implacable. They're firmly established in these things, and they become more and more obstinate. The people that reject God, they become more and more obstinate. They become more and more relentless in their sinful way. Their disdain for God grows. Their hostility toward God grows. Well, we need to just come up with some educational programs to fix this. It won't work. Because they're implacable. They're firmly established in these things. The implacable secularist will not be appeased with anything short of God being expunged from every aspect of society. They're not going to be appeased until that happens. And we need to understand that. We need to understand what we're dealing with. We're dealing with implacable people, people that are firmly established in their sinful ways and becoming more and more established in their ways. An implacable person is not happy. They're never happy. They're never happy. And they never will be. And we have a society that very unhappy society. People are not happy. Implacable. They're not happy unless something is stirred up. They like to stir things up. Again, we've seen implacable people in churches. They have the same characteristics. They're going to get offended by everything, and they're going to refuse to be appeased. And if they are somewhat appeased, they're not going to be happy because they want something stirred up. So they're going to stir it up. Or usually what they do is they get someone else to stir it up. Implacable. Implacable is destructive wherever it is. The implacable person looks at everybody else and everybody else is wrong. The implacable church member, everybody else is wrong, everybody else has a wrong attitude and a wrong spirit. I'm the only one that has the right attitude and the right spirit. I'm the only one right with God. That's the implacable person. And again, being filled with or full of implacable. So much so that it is commonplace and an epidemic. And it is commonplace in our society. And it is an epidemic. And it makes for a miserable society. If you live with an implacable person, you've got a miserable house. You have to associate with implacable people at work or whatever. It's misery. They drag misery with them everywhere they go. And our society is filled with them. Implacable people. So again, it just helps us to understand what we're dealing with in society. And next week we'll come to the unmerciful. We have a society filled with the unmerciful. Only God can fix what is wrong with this society. Only God. Let's look to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we again thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the plainness of your word, the simplicity of your word, and we pray, Lord, that you just help us to apply it in all areas of our life, with what's going on in our society, and just everything, Lord, help us. We do pray for those that are lost, that you would speak to their hearts, that you would open their hearts to salvation this day. Pray for the sick, Lord, and the diseased, that you would help them, that you would raise them up. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.